Amen. We're thankful that you're here. We're thankful that God's here. Your brothers and sisters, we've gathered today. I want you to just reach with me and just ask God to just have his will today in this services, that God would do his plan and what he has for us today that we could receive. Lord, we love and we thank you for this time together. Thank you for the riches of your kingdom, God, the goodness of your grace. Would you lead us this morning, Lord God, and Lord, inscribe your ways deeply within our hearts. We thank you today, God, for the privilege to come this morning. We thank you for the way of your spirit, the way of your glory. We praise you this morning with honor, glory, and thanksgiving, God, for the privilege, Lord, just to be yours, to be filled with the Holy Ghost, to know your grace and to be, Lord, part of your kingdom. We ask you to lead us this morning in thy paths of righteousness for thy name's sake. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. God bless you. Would you shake hands with somebody near you and just welcome them to the house of the Lord today? Amen. Praise God. Give them a welcome this morning. Praise God. We're blessed today. And this morning, this is going to, we're starting something new in 2026. By the way, welcome to 2026. Amen. And we're going to start something new today. Is an adult Bible class, a Sunday school class in the sanctuary. And this class will go just for a little bit, and then at 10:55, we transition, and we have church, and given the whole church family an opportunity on Sunday mornings to worship the Lord. We're trying something new in order to try to become new. Amen. And we're thankful for that today. Amen. We want to go to the Word of the Lord this morning. I want Brother Colton to come, and he's going to teach our Sunday morning classes. Amen. And we want the Lord just to have his way. So let's tune in today. Amen. Let's give God an opportunity to speak to us and teach us today. God bless.
Welcome this morning. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity. Something about it, getting a phone call from Pastor asking you to kick this 2026 off, and it's an honor to be able to do so. And what's amazing to me is how God works. Aren't you glad that you have a God that knows even before you know? And so about a week and a half prior to Pastor messaging me, the Lord began to deal with me, and so I began to write notes down, and it's always important for you to write notes down when you feel like God's talking to you, because you never know when you're going to need those notes or when those notes are going to come to fruition. And so I was glad I began to start. I have my iPhone with me, and I take notes in my iPhone. Every going through the day, the Lord will hit me with a thought, and man, I'll sit there and I'll take notes and write, jot stuff down. And I was glad I did, because man, Pastor messaged me, and I decided to had all these notes taken down, and I was like, well, maybe that's not what God wants. So I began to search other things. I'm like, you know, and then in prayer, Lord, what do you want me to teach starting this 2026 off? And it just kept coming back to these notes. No matter which other lessons that I studied, it came back to these notes. It came back to these notes. So you know what? I said, okay, God, I'm gonna trust the process, and I'm gonna trust you. Isn't it good to just say, God, I trust you? I trust you. So Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." So the question came to mind of, have you ever asked the question, why is this happening to me? Have you ever been in a situation in your life where you go, God, where are you at? God, do you even know what's going on? Have you ever been in a situation in your life where you said, Lord, do you see what's happening? You know, have you ever thought, where's God when I need him? I know I have struggled with the fact prior to in my life of not understanding a situation, not understanding a thing, a trial, a storm, a time in my life that I was in, I didn't understand. And one of the days I had the thought, God, are you even aware of what's going on in my life? And the Lord confirmed with me in Psalms. He began to give me scripture. And I just want you to know you're not alone when you ask these questions. Many people have asked these questions. So I'm going to reference a whole lot of scripture in a short amount of time, and or several passages of scripture. And the psalmist wrote in chapter 139 of Psalms, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting. You know when I sit down, and you know when I rise up. You understand my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge, for me to be even aware of what you're doing, is too wonderful for me. It is high, and I cannot attain unto it. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be the light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought into the lowest part of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I wake, I am still with thee. Skipping forward to 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way of everlasting. Man, that's a lot to take in. So we're gonna hang out right there for just a second. God is not surprised. And that's my title. God is not surprised. No matter the situation that you are in, God is not surprised. Life has a way of taking different routes, and yet God is still not surprised. Sometimes life will lead us on one path, and in the middle of what we're doing, life veers us off quickly in another direction. It can take us by surprise. It can take us unwillingly by surprise. I'm not ready to go that route. I don't know if I'm able to handle what just happened to me, or the situation that I'm in, or the battle that I'm facing. But just know, God already knew it was going to happen. God was not taken by surprise. God is on your side. And so Brother Brian said something the other night, and I may be getting jumping ahead of my notes, but Brother Brian said, God sets us up, not like to be set up for failure, but God sets us up in places, in higher places, to be overcomers, to overcome situations, to be strong. I can take a story out of every part of the Bible, from Adam to the disciples. And we can take a story and we can say, he was caught off guard, but God wasn't surprised. Adam was caught off guard in the middle of the garden. But Scripture says Jesus was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God knew it was going to happen. God wasn't taken by surprise, right? Noah was taken by surprise. Can you imagine Noah going through life with his family, knowing the world was wicked as it was, preaching the gospel, and one day the voice of the Lord says, it's going to rain. I don't even know what that is. Like, what is that? What is rain? What's a flood? Right? Taken by surprise. But guess what? God wasn't surprised. Right? So you go into, we can go into Abraham. Abraham, taking out of his land, followed God by faith. And in the middle of it all, when he's older, God says, I'm going to give you a son. I'm going to promise you a child. Abraham's taken by surprise. I don't know about that. You know, Sarah laughed, but it didn't talk about how Abraham kind of chuckled. We don't talk about that part. You know, it was taken by surprise. But guess what? God wasn't surprised. And so even when Abraham decided to take things into his own hands, said, well, maybe God's not working fast enough, Ishmael shows up. Guess what? God was not surprised. Even when Ishmael and his mother find themselves in a desert, God was not surprised. God said, I'm going to make him a mighty nation. He's not part of the seed, but I am going to do something with his life. I'm not surprised. So any situation that you're in, God is not surprised. And so I don't know why I kept coming to this, but I feel like somebody this morning under the sound of my voice needs to hear. The situation that you're in, God is not surprised. And God has a plan. He has a plan to prosper you. He has a plan. This situation that you're in this morning, that you're currently facing, or you're soon to be facing, just know that God is not surprised. Think about Job. Job chapter 28. Job, from the very beginning of the story of Job, God set Job up. The devil came to the Lord in the middle of the host, and you can probably, the Lord could tell he was flustered. And he says, what are you doing? What are you doing, Satan? And he says, I'm walking back and forth, to and fro. I'm trying to pick on somebody. God said, have you considered my servant? Though a surprise to Job, though it caught him off guard, God didn't reveal to Job that, hey, I had a meeting with the devil, and I'm just letting you know, I'm gonna let him pick on you a little bit. God didn't reveal that to Job. But God had faith in Job's stance of where he was in him. God wasn't surprised. You know who was surprised at the end of it all? The devil. The devil was surprised. The devil didn't think, oh, well, if you'll take away his riches, if you'll take away his family, if you'll take away the things that mean something to him, he's going to curse you. And guess what? He didn't. Surprise. So the devil comes back to the Lord and he goes, oh, he didn't? He didn't do anything that you thought he was going to do? Well, if you'll take away that hedge. God said, okay, I'll go one more step because I'm not surprised. I'll go one more step. I'll take the hedge away from his life. The only thing you can't do is kill him. You can cause sickness to come into his life, but you can't kill him. And lo and behold, through the approximate 2 to 3 years, however it's estimated, of Job's trial, of going through that sickness, he never cursed God. God wasn't surprised. God knew Job's heart. So, where are you at today? Is your heart strong enough to handle? I can tell you right now, God's not going to put anything more on you than you can bear. He always makes a way of escape. There's always a place that you can turn to. There's always a prayer meeting that you can get into and say, God, I'm telling you, Job said, when I get to talk to God, this is what I'm going to tell him. But I'm not going to curse him. I'm going to ask. I'll curse the day of my birth. I'll ask God just to go ahead and take me. I'm miserable. But I'm not going to curse God. I'm going to hold fast in knowing that God is not surprised. When my wife comes to me and says, curse God and die, I want to have the same response as Job. What, do I curse God when the bad times happen and not curse him when the good times happen? No. I'm going to praise him in the good times and the bad. I'm going to give him glory because he is the author and the finisher. No matter what happens, no matter the situation that we're in, God has authored your life. And he's writing something in your life. Just allow it to happen. Speaking of allowing it to happen, Luke, the Lord speaks in Luke's recording in chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not. A lot of the times it's fear that causes us to stumble. It's fear that causes us to question God. But multiple places you're going to see, fear not, therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows. You have a value in your life to God. And he's not going to allow things to happen to you that he has already not made plans for you. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, the angel appears unto Joseph. And what does he say? Things have happened. Joseph has had a dream. The angel said, while Joseph thought on the things that are happening, we're coming fresh out of Christmas. We've celebrated the birth of the Lord. But this is so this is kind of just a reminder on this, the freshness of this new year, on what exactly happened to Mary and Joseph. Can you imagine? Mary and Joseph, high school sweethearts, right? Man, we've got these plans. We're getting married. Everything's going good. Everything's going great. We're almost into the honeymoon phase of we're ready. We're ready for that young love. And the next thing you know, an angel appears before both of them. Joseph has a dream. The Lord gives Joseph a dream. And he wakes from that dream and he's pondering on this dream. What does this mean? And while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is the Holy Ghost. Boy, what a surprise. We can look at the Bible and we can read the beginning and the end and know what happened. But to actually live Joseph's life, as a man, can you imagine what a surprise it would be for my wife to come to me and say, just so you know, we're pregnant and it's not yours. These are things that men think about. So I'm pondering, okay, God, what's going on? What a turn in life. But guess what? God was not surprised. God had a plan to prosper Joseph. So guess what? He goes to Mary. In Luke 1:30. And the angel said unto her, fear not. There it is again. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And then he goes on and he tells her the plan. And in 1:38, he says, and Mary said, and this is what I want us to get today. This is the hook. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Mary gave God permission. Think about that. Mary gave God permission. Okay, God, it is your will, not mine. I know this is a drastic change in the thoughts that I had. Me and Joseph had a honeymoon planned. Man, we were going to go on a cruise. We were going to go somewhere. We were going to do something. But what a drastic change. This is a different road that they had planned. But what did Mary say? She said, your will be done, God. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? The God that we serve knows our beginning from our end. He knows the past before us. And even though we are surprised by situations, he is not surprised. So sometimes in our lives, we have to go, okay, God, your will be done. Okay, God, it is my life, but I want it to reflect you. And so many times that I've had people in my life that I've looked up to, I've esteemed, go, I don't want it to be that way. I want to have control. And in doing so, they've walked away from the Almighty. Because whatever surprise it was that took them down the road of surprise, the fear gripped them so much so that they said, no, it's my will. And I don't ever want to get to that point. I want to get to the point of, God, not my will, but your will. I give you permission. Is it hard? 100%. Is it hard to give up a career, a thought process, a choice that you wanted to do in your life? 110%. But I have seen the effects of not allowing God's will to be done. And I know I will be surprised, but my God's not surprised. And I want to keep that relationship. Okay, God, you knew this was coming. So what are we going to do about it? How about this? What are you going to do about it? Okay, God, it's yours. It's yours. Mary didn't resist. There are things that God wants to do for you and places that God wants to take you that you're not familiar with. Situations that you may not be comfortable with, but ultimately God, thank you, Brother Brian, is setting you up. Man, when he said that the other day, man, it just confirmed exactly what God was talking to me about. He's setting you up, not for failure, Job, but because I already know what's in your heart. The devil doesn't know your heart. God knows your heart. The devil thinks he knows. Oh, yeah. Man, if I can trip Bryn up, if I can get him around those guys at work and get him to just trip up just a little bit, yeah, I'm going to have him. But you know what? God knows your heart. John, if the devil could just see, oh, well, if I can get John just around those guys that cuss and spit and smoke, throw tires around, dodging tools in a shop because somebody got mad and decided to chunk a wrench. I know how shop work. Yes, I have experience of dodging wrenches. My dad's not here, so I can pick on him a little bit. But the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost. And so prime example, my life, right? I had a thought process. By the time I was 45, in 4 years, I would be retired. I started with the sheriff's office at 18 years old. I already had planned out. 45, man, I'm retiring. I'm fishing the rest of my life. By that time, I'll have a boat. I had a boat. Turn of the century, turn it to shortcut on the road. I had to sell it to buy my wife a house. So, but guess what? God knows. God knew exactly what I needed in my life. God knew exactly the road that I would take. You know what? I had prayed for 20, probably close to 25 years, 20, 22 years probably. Let's just say 20 years because I was a young child too. I had prayed for 20 years plus for my dad to get the Holy Ghost. And when my daddy lost his daddy, surprise, not expecting to lose a father at 65, 68 years old. I don't remember. I think Papa was 64. 64, 65 years old when Papa, when the tractor rolled over on him. It was the day after Hurricane Rita came and pushed through here, and Papa was on the tractor cleaning up the yard, and he hit a sinkhole, and the tractor rolled over on him. Surprise. But God knew. Devastating, 110%. Papa is my hero. But God knew. God wasn't surprised. God knew that he would take that and then some, and he would bring me back to Nacogdoches. And ultimately, I would marry my wife in this church assembly. The old building, but this church assembly. And we would have Gloriana. And that little girl would do something to Papa's heart. God wasn't surprised. God wasn't surprised when I made the announcement that me and Anna were going to get married. Pastor made the announcement that me and Anna were going to get married. God wasn't surprised. The church was surprised. God's not surprised where you are. God's not surprised the path that you've chosen. But God is, God does have a plan to take you from where you are and elevate you to something greater. Not a couple years after, I don't even remember how old Gloriana was, Papa got baptized. I think he was number two in that baptistry. Baptized in Jesus' name. Oh boy, I'm telling you. I spent many a day in pastor's office. I don't know what I'm going to do. The man ain't listening. I invite him to church every single Sunday, and he says no every single time. God's not surprised. God's got a plan. And so how beautiful it is that we serve a God that's not surprised. I'm telling you, God has worked on me. I am not surprised. The things that you go through, even if it seems big to you or little to you, it doesn't surprise me. I've got a plan. I'm working it out. Just trust the process and fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Have courage to go, okay, God, it's your plan. It's your design. You're the designer. You're the author. You're writing it down. You're writing this chapter of my life. God's not surprised the struggles when we go through struggles and frustrations. Elijah found himself under a tree in a desert saying, God, just take me because I'm the only one left. God says, you're going to need your strength. I'm going to need you to eat a little bit. You've got a journey ahead of you. nope, I'm going to need you to eat a little bit more. You've got a journey ahead of you. And oh, by the way, I'm not surprised. I've got some others that haven't bowed either. Why? God's not surprised. God's got your life in his hands, and he is wanting to elevate you. Isaiah 43:19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Well, it's impossible to have a river in the desert. You don't know my God. Right? I'm going to make a new thing in you. I'm going to do something new. It may be a surprise to you, but I'm going to work something new in your life. When me and Anna got married, boy, Papa tried to run Anna away. You don't want this boy. He's going to drive you up a wall. God knew. God knew exactly what he was doing in Papa's life and in my life. Because I didn't know it, but I needed Anna just as much as she needed me. What a beautiful story to tell. What? God wasn't surprised. Abraham didn't resist when he got called to take the one promise that finally came after all of his back and forth and bringing Ishmael into the world and doing his things his way. And God finally says, okay, it's my way. It's my turn. And then when he brings Isaac into the world, and that is the promise. And then the Lord speaks to Abraham and says, I'm going to need you to sacrifice that. I'm going to need you to take the promise that I just gave you and give it back to me. Boy, what a surprise to Abraham, but not to God. What a surprise. Okay. Brent, I'm giving you your heart's desire. You've tried everything that you know to do, how to make it happen in your way. But now I'm giving it to you the way I see fit. But here in just a little bit, I'm going to need you to give it back to me. I'm going to need that truck back. Would it be hard? Yeah. And I'm not buying it back either. You just have to willingly give it. Right? I've put some time in this thing. I've put some money in it. I've got more money in it than it's probably worth. I can see Abraham. Man, I've put some time into this boy. I've put some effort into him. He's growing. He's not fulfilled his life's plan yet. He's still growing. I'm still going to need you to give him back to me. And it's amazing that Abraham looked at his servants and said, hey, I'm going to need y'all to stay back. Me and the boy are going yonder to worship. When you give it to God, it's worship. Did y'all know that? When you give it to God, when you give this thing to God, it's worship. It's a form of worship. Lord, I trust you with it, so it's yours. Right? Here it is. And it was said this weekend, I was listening to a podcast. I'm trying to do more podcast listening and less Facebook listening. This year. And so I was listening to a podcast and it said, you know why Abraham made his servants stay back? Because they would have prevented him from killing Isaac. They would have prevented him from worship. So there's some things in your life that you're going to have to ask some people to stay back. You're going to worship God. Because they're going to prevent you from giving that full worship. Again, it wasn't a surprise to God. Ooh, but it was a surprise to Abraham. You'd think Nebuchadnezzar would learn. After dealing with Daniel, the three Hebrew boys. And in Daniel 4, chapter 34 through 37. Nebuchadnezzar finally got it. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, okay, so before this, to give you a kind of context of what's going on, Nebuchadnezzar had been through the history with Daniel of having dreams. He had seen Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and the things that God, and back way back then, he said, let the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be the God of all gods, and he is the one that we worship. But life went on for Nebuchadnezzar, and as he progressed, he grew, and his pride grew, and he became prideful. And so he had a dream, and in this dream, he didn't understand it. So long story short, Daniel came in and translated it for him, so to speak, and told him, this dream is you. You've set yourself up, and you've become prideful, and God's fixing to take the kingdom away if you continue the path that you're on. And so he kind of sloughs off what Daniel says, and ultimately, one day, he comes into the palace, and he says, look how much we've grown. Look at everything that I've done. And the Bible says he didn't even get the words, and I'm paraphrasing, but the Bible says he didn't even get the words out of his mouth, and the word of the Lord said, today, the kingdom will be stripped from you. Everything that I told you in the dream, because basically of your pride, is going to be gone. And so then you see Nebuchadnezzar is basically torn down, and he's eating grass. And he's in a field with beasts, and he's living literally off of the land. The Lord didn't slay him, but he brought down his pride. And he took away the kingdom, and he isolated Nebuchadnezzar into this place. And at the end of all of it, I think they said 7 years, roughly, the kingdom was taken away. And at the end, this is what he's talking about. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, this was a surprise to him. He had built this kingdom up, but he forgot who built it. He allowed the things of this world to let him strut, poke his chest out a little. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I bless the Most High, and I praise and honor him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? God's not surprised. God has a will. God has a design. And it's going to work out in his favor. At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and my brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me. And I was established in my kingdom, and excellence and majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose work are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride as he is able to abase. What a surprise. I've grew this thing. Then all of a sudden there's a curveball. I have a dream. I forget about the dream. And I keep going with my life. I keep going. Sometimes God tries to warn us before things happen. Because why? He's not surprised. But sometimes we don't have the wisdom or the reason or the wherewithal to go, oh, God's trying to tell me something. Because why? We're distracted. We're distracted with things. We're distracted with the world. Today's day and age, my word, literally everything that can distract you from reading or getting time with God will distract you. So in conclusion, God is not surprised. Take heed, take warning. Take heed of the things that the Lord is trying to talk to you, to trying to impress upon you, trying to get you to, man, wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning for no absolute reason, just wide awake, staring at the ceiling going, why am I awake? I want to go back to sleep. Toss and turn, just get up and go pray. I have found myself, I'm just going to be transparent, that when I finally decided to obey God, and I went into the living room and I began to have my prayer time with God, 4 o'clock in the morning, and not wanting to be up, the Lord would bring me peace, and I'd go back to sleep, and it felt like I had slept the whole night. Now, sometimes I'd fall asleep during prayer, but we're not talking about that. But I obeyed. I got up and I went. Sometimes it's just about obedience. Sometimes it's just about getting up and spending time with God. And while I'm kneeling there praying, the Lord brings sleep back. Thank you, Jesus. Right? It's about obedience. Because we have a God that's not surprised. The Bible is full of history, and we can literally take every single situation in the Word of God, every story from Adam to Peter, from Noah to the disciples, every situation that they were surprised by, God was not surprised. Can you imagine the surprise of the disciples in the boat when Peter stepped out and walked on water? We didn't know he could do that. Notice none of the other ones tried to get out. Like, no, nah, we're good, Lord. We're just going to watch Peter and make sure he gets all the way to you. Right? At some point, all of these people came to a realization that God was not surprised by their situation. God wasn't surprised. Man, Lord, it took you 4 days to get to Lazarus. 4 days. The Lord's like, I wasn't surprised. I know exactly where he's at. He wasn't going anywhere. Right? Sometimes we feel like we're rushed. We have to get somewhere. Just let God. Oh, I got to get to it. I got to get to it. I got to get there. Let God. It's my responsibility to say, God, it's yours. I give you permission. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a God of the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the same situations that he put or allowed Peter and the disciples to go through is the same God that's leading and guiding me. Okay, God, it's yours. I trust you. Oh, it's easier said than done, Brother Colton. Trust me, I know. But if we can get to that spot where we go, just like Mary said, be it unto me according to thy will. Don't be fearful. Every time the angel appeared to the Lord, don't fear. Fear not. Fear not. God's got a plan. Fear not. God is not surprised. Brother Crosswhite, if you would come. God has you in his hands. Just give him permission. Right? Just give him permission. What a beautiful Savior. I wonder if we could just lift our hands right now and know that he is not surprised. Lord, I give it to you.